Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject today. We're talking about citizens in America, Christians and conservatives and patriots and citizens in general in America. We're in the boiling water. Just as the frog thrown in the cool water and then turning the temperature up until he boils because he gets acclimated to the increased temperature and fails to jump out until it's too late and his life is taken. And I'm comparing we the people, the citizens, conservatives and Christians in particular, as being in that category. I believe that the scripture is very, very clear in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following, where the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord indeed. I believe we need to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord and not government. It is God and not government that we should bow to and take that stand. In fact, in Philippians, the sixth chapter, it is very, very clear. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, is very, very clear that we're dealing with, wrestling with, not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say in Ephesians text that we need to be armored in the full armor of God. That means we need to be ready as Christians to do battle, and then having done all, to stand. We're not to run, we're not to sit, we're not to turn and cower before what's taking place, but we're to stand, having on the full armor of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to introduce to you, some of you have heard me in communication with him before, one of our 4 sons. We're thankful to have 4 sons, and Glenn, the retired law enforcement officer, is on the line with us today. Glenn, thank you for taking time to join us. Looking forward to what God will say through the two of us. We'll make some folks glad and some mad, but that's all right. You heard my monologue. What are your thoughts along that line and what I've said and where we should stand as Christians?
Well, the Bible is not just true. It is the foundation for truth. All 66 books become in the Bible come together as the very foundation for truth. What we're seeing in the world today is the rejection of truth. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets or focus point between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now, if that was the command to Israel way back then, because God already knew that they had very short attention spans and they forget quickly, and he was giving them the command to constantly remember who God is so that they wouldn't fall away from the truth. Now, in John 14:6, he was speaking and he said, that Jesus speaking said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me except cometh unto the Father except through me." Now, even in America, we have, it's almost a deliberate ignorance. It's like, well, I can't do anything about it, so I'm just going to go with the flow. I don't want to cause a commotion. I'll do whatever they tell me to do. When in fact, the leadership telling you to do it is breaking the law. It's been said that, well, we should obey the law. Yes, we should. But when the person is given an unlawful command, even in military or law enforcement, if it's an unlawful command, you bring it to the attention of your supervisor and say, this is an unlawful command. If it's just against general orders and they recommand you to do it, you're only violating general orders. But if you actually commit a violation of the law as commanded by a leader, you are also breaking the law. And we're allowing them to do that across the nation today with the unlawful mandates. Jesus commissioned the 12, and he said to be as wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. How do you become wise as serpents? By diligently educating yourself as to what's going on in the world. You can't be ignorant, or you'll just be slaughtered like a sheep. It's disheartening to see folks that they double down on what I would call deliberate ignorance, and then it becomes an arrogance or a new religion of ignorance. And you can't help them. It's very, very difficult to help someone who feels that they're doing the right thing, even as they're drowning. In law enforcement, there were some times we had to actually fight against a potential victim in order to bring them to safety. We had one fellow in particular who used to live on Barnes Road, and the fellow was a diabetic, and he would not take his medication and go delirious. The fire department had to call the police department because four or five firemen were fighting one guy, and they couldn't contain him. Until I could get there with restraints and handcuff him and restrain him so that the fire department could give him the medication he needed. When he woke up, he was like, what happened? He was completely unaware that he had been fighting, you know, six or eight people. It's very difficult for a rescue swimmer, rescue diver, swimmer in the Navy. They say that sometimes when they try to rescue someone from the water, that they will the victim will climb all over them and wind up drowning the rescuer. So they train the rescuer to actually drown the victim temporarily so that they can be rescued and revived. And I think that's what we're looking at today. We have people who have just gone along to get along, and they're drowning, and they don't know it. And we're sounding the alarm, and we're looked at as ignorant, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists. And then when their eyes are open, they're like, oh, my goodness, how did you know this? I was searching for truth.
That is the thing. That is the thing, Glenn, that one of the, I think it was Dr. McCullough, has said is mass psychosis. And I know you're familiar with that term. And what you've just said falls into that category of mass psychosis. Explain to our listeners what that really means and what we see as the outfall of the results of that mass psychosis. For example, with getting the jab, wearing the mask, wanting to force others to follow their mask wearing and or their recommendation of their sense of getting the jab. How does that relate to what the physicians call mass psychosis?
Well, the people that are supporting your, I guess, your prescription drug industry, along with Anthony Fauci, he's the number one outside sales rep for your pharmaceutical companies. And then they've coerced the media to fall in line. And so if you just sit in front of the boob tube and you listen to what they tell you, you're like, oh, I got to do this. Now, wait a minute. Last week it was this. Now this week it's this. Now next week it's going to be this, because they keep moving the carrot or the stick to compel the herd of sheep to go in the direction they want them to go. Most people don't realize, maybe they just don't know, the FDA receives 45% of its funding from, wait for it, the pharmaceutical companies. 45%. The people working for the FDA have been prior employees of pharmaceutical companies and or are looking for a job in a pharmaceutical company. Would you bite the hand that feeds you? The NIH, National Institute of Health, where Fauci's at, they give huge, huge grants to colleges and universities to do the research and the studies that will benefit who? The pharmaceutical companies. They get paid based on how many people they can get in a little program for research. And then the NIH and the pharmaceutical companies and the FDA make a huge profit on it. Wow. Now, if these people are in charge of our health, okay, and then the CDC keeps redefining terms, you can never win the game. It's a losing battle, and they have you. And by the time you take something you shouldn't have, and you have to go to the doctor and say, hey, well, these are my problems. You know, I recently got this shot or this shot, and the doctors are telling the patients coming in with problems, we can't help you. You can't go get unvaccinated. You can't unring the bell. So now you are the victim not only the first time, but subsequently all the way through, because you're going to have to continue to pay for medical treatment all the way to the grave. They got you. They got you. How are you supposed to guard against that? Well, you should be doing a little research and study. Most people do more research and study on the tires they put on their car or the battery they put in their car than they do on what somebody puts in their arm. They just said, well, everybody else got it. My friend got it. This guy said it was okay. This guy didn't die, you know, so it must be okay. And I think leadership, even in churches, that are unknowingly promoting things that are not good for the people.
Glenn, you touched on what I was about to ask. We had just a few months back, Franklin Graham publicly said if Jesus were on earth today, he'd take the COVID vaccination. We've got pastors that are recommending from the pulpit that the congregation get vaccinated. How do you view that in light of the scripture and what we ought to do as Christians?
Wow. I can't believe that Franklin Graham said that. I will tell you this, that since he apparently did that, obviously he'd gotten the shots, he started having heart trouble. His granddaughter apparently now also having heart trouble. And I'm not saying she got the shot or didn't. It's just interesting that that family is now having medical issues, okay, that we can go to the vaccine adverse reaction reporting center, and you can see it causes myocarditis and other problems and or strokes. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Back to your question. I believe that we should be diligently searching for truth, not just for spiritual guidance, but for how we should live and what we should submit to. We should be submitted to God. I believe that America, you could say the international level, but America has turned its back on God in such a fashion that I believe that this is being allowed. We're already being invaded by your Afghan refugees. They have been bused and or flown into multiple states in the cover of darkness. Maitland, Florida, got a shipment of them in the last week, I believe. I was reading the article last night. But it's as if we're being invaded by a foreign nation, and it's being tolerated, even at the southern border, by leadership. Well, isn't that a violation of law? It absolutely is. They are violating the law, and the nation is crumbling. It's actually, we've actually crumbled from the spiritual standpoint. Now it's the physical. And if there's not a repentance in this nation, we will be overtaken by a foreign nation. It's happening right now. They're already being flown in or bussed in. And then they can say, oh, it was just a random terrorist attack. Really? Where'd they come from? You let them in, okay? And then they make executive orders, which are unlawful, and then they force people to do things. They knew that Biden knew what he was doing was unlawful from the beginning. He just knew it would take about a year for it to reach the Supreme Court and stopped. But the momentum is already in motion. The damage is being done. And like you even said, Hershey's was mandating their people be vaccinated. Disney, I read this morning, Disney is going to continue to mandate that their employees are vaccinated. And the damage is continually being done because why would they do that? Well, there's federal handouts and federal subsidies. Anyone who takes money from the federal government will at some point be called to account for how they spent that money, and or the money will be used to manipulate them to do what they want. Now what?
That brings me to another part of this dilemmification of our nation and the undermining and destruction of our Constitution and, in particular, our Bill of Rights and the mass psychosis that's taking place with people just falling in line seemingly without questioning and will challenge those that take the opposite or opposing viewpoint. I'm delighted to see what the truckers are doing. And I'm sure that you're familiar with the truckers' convoy outside of Canada's borders. Speak to that issue. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? At least the truckers are taking a stand in tandem and saying, we're not going to be forced to take the jab in order to deliver your groceries. Glenn, speak to that issue. Where are we at with that? Where are we going with that? What's going to be the end result of the grocery shelves if this continues?
Well, we're on a fast track to Venezuela. Most people may not know what the backstory is because even close friends of mine will tell me they go to work and they come home. They don't read the news. They don't watch the news. So as Denzel Washington said, and I believe he's quoting someone else, if you don't look at the news, you're uninformed. If you do look at the news, you may be misinformed. But the backstory of the truckers is they have been mandated on both sides, America and Canada, that they must be fully vaccinated. Now, keep remembering that that definition changes. Okay, according to what the CDC and the NIH want them to do. But they have to be vaccinated on both sides and wear a mask, or they cannot cross the border to deliver or receive any goods by truck. And so they finally thrown down the gauntlet, and the truckers have said, you know what? We're going to have a we're going to have a whole line of trucks all the way to Ottawa, Canada, which is the capital where, I guess, Justin Trudeau, who's been fully vaccinated, apparently supposedly tested positive. And so he's self-quarantined himself, is what they say. But he's in hiding because he's afraid of the truckers, because they are lined up at his door.
Yes.
Okay. All the way through. Now, they had a they refused to negotiate with the trucker. So the trucker says, hey, we're going to abide by the law. So long as we leave one lane open so people can come and go, we're within the letter of the law and they can't touch us. But there is a line of trucks all the way before and all the way after the Canadian-American border. In the short term, you will see grocery shelves in those areas possibly go dry in the short term. In the larger arena, there is an eye-opening awareness now in Canada. Multiple videos online now where you can see Canada singing their national anthem, that they're not going to take it anymore from Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau actually sees the people, the populace, turning against him. That is the bigger picture if you're going to have change. But in the short run, I believe you will have shortages of things on the grocery shelves. And you know what? If that brings the awareness, so be it. But it has to stop. We're on a fast track for a one-world government on the lines of China, okay?
Yes.
If you want to live in communist China, just keep going with the flow because you're on the way.
Glenn, is it your viewpoint that what the truckers are doing is admirable, they're taking a stand, and is it also your viewpoint that as they're standing, the nation of Canada, the people in unity are standing against what the government's forcing them to do? Do you see that as a potential of the wave across America? There's some states, we've seen that in, what is it, in D.C., we've seen that in New York and Washington State, where the masses are standing up and saying enough is enough. Do you think we can build enough momentum in America that the government will listen, or do we continue to see, or will we continue to see, a greater, repression of free speech?
Well, to answer the last part first, we're seeing a greater repression of free speech every day. If you say something that the politically correct people don't like, you are shut down and canceled all through social media and or news. You just won't be reported. It just didn't happen. Okay. But as far as building the momentum on the national scale, I hope so. I hope so. Not until the calamity comes to your own front door, when it affects you personally, is when you get involved. Because one of the excerpts I saw last night, it had a trucker, and there was a person on the side of the road that was supporting the truckers, and she was a Chinese national that immigrated to America, and she got up on the side of the truck. Now, keep in mind, she's Chinese, and she's talking to a black male trucker, and she says, thank you so much for doing this. I came from China. I don't want to live in China again. Thank you for doing what you're doing. She already knows. A person that survived the Holocaust, they already know how it started in Nazi Germany. The people that were under Fidel Castro in Cuba that came to America, they will say the same thing. They're ringing the bell. They're like, hey, this is how it started in Castro's Cuba. It was small. It was about squelching free speech. It was about limiting your travel and your movement and how the government was just right on top of you. And all of a sudden, our freedoms were gone. And we didn't do anything about it until it was too late. So I
Absolutely.
Hope people wake up.
We're watching that. This is the reason I'm using as the illustration the frog being thrown into a pot of cool water, and then the temperature's turned up, and he gets acclimated to the heat a little more, a little more, a little more, until he's literally boiled to death. And I see America, and I see the globe being that frog in the pot of water being boiled to death. And, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're discussing these issues today with one of our four sons, Glenn Youngblood. Glenn is a retired law enforcement officer and has a lot of insight on these issues that we're talking about. Glenn, I see an article that says massive crowds cheer as Canadian truckers lead freedom convoy protesting the vaccine mandates. It says the convoy has been causing severe traffic problems, forcing people to be stuck in the highways, et cetera, but not complaining. This article says, in conclusion, this isn't even about the vaccine anymore, one of the truckers said. It's not. It's not about a vaccine mandate on the truckers. I have been free my whole life, and somehow now I'm no longer free in this present Canada. And I think that's a statement that we as Christians and conservatives and patriots can make for the United States of America. But Glenn, changing gears just a little bit, we're watching what is taking place in relationship to the forced jabs. We're watching in our schools and colleges and universities, even on the grammar school, grade school, school level, where we're finding you can't have a cross on your neck, you can't talk about Jesus, you can't pray, you can't bring a Bible, but yet there are schools in America, and right here recently one in Clay County, just over in Clay County, where a child is being groomed by a teacher. I think the child's 12 or 13 years old, groomed by a teacher for becoming a transsexual. Are you familiar with that? Can you speak to that issue? And I'm trying to combine this with our other thoughts because we have so many today that simply assuming that these things are okay and they're simply complying with them because the government, including the educational system, says that it's okay. Can you speak to that?
The article you're referring to in Clay County is where a Clay County school counselor was speaking to I believe it was a 12-year-old girl, and had come to the conclusion this girl wasn't really sure about, you know, her gender identity. They used to call it a gender dysphoria. It's a mental illness. So instead of contacting a parent, the counselor went ahead and they agreed to give her a boy's name, and then she was harassed and ridiculed by other classmates because come to school as a girl, you change your name, now you're a boy. How does this work? The girl had actually attempted suicide twice. By this time, now the family knows something's wrong, and they find out what went on behind the scenes and that they were never contacted, and now they're filing suit against the Clay County school system. Now, Clay County school system, and this hasn't shaken out all the way to the end yet, they came back and said they'd done their internal investigation and the counselor did nothing wrong. Well, I have a problem with that just on the face. How can you be having a discussion with a child, a minor, and not include the parents in the discussion? I don't care what the issue is. If the child gets pulled into the office to talk to a counselor or the dean or the principal or whatever the situation is, I want to know. That's my kid. So I think on the face they have a huge problem. But the school systems under some of your liberal teachers organizations, in fact, it's a huge national organization, they are promoting the LGBTQ, and they are recruiting your boys and girls to come to their side because, well, quite frankly, homosexuals don't reproduce. They're actually allowed to adopt now. But your problem is they're raising this child or whatever child they get their hands on in their mindset in order to groom them for a future homosexual or lesbian.
Absolutely. And Glenn, one of the things I advocate to every parent that's listening today, if you've got a child, if you've got a grandchild, if you've got any member of your family that has a child in the public polluted educational system, I say pull them out. Homeschool them, teach them at home. If you're a parent, you don't have to have a four-year college degree, a postgraduate degree, to be able to do what is honorable before God. I told my four boys as they were growing up, and Glenn is one of them, is on the phone with us now. I told our four boys I'd rather have you grow up to be an absolute academic dummy, but know Jesus Christ and honor him in your life and serve him than to have you with all kinds of prestigious credentials, and yet you're disavowing and disobeying what is the moral ethical standard based on the Word of God. Glenn, hold on a moment. I believe we have your brother on the line. Greg's calling. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
I'll just do a hit and run comment because Glenn can speak very authoritatively to the notion of the rule of law and the fact that clearly you must have a nexus between the law and an order, and that law has to be in keeping with, has to have a nexus with the Constitution. But we're watching the Constitution as the self-described supreme law of the land. The Constitution makes very clear. I mean, every single one of our public office holders raise their hand and swear an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. The Constitution has with it the Bill of Rights. It was ratified in 1791. And within the Bill of Rights, your very first articulated right is a right to freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. But as you go on through that, it's, you know, covering the freedom of speech and freedom of the press and the Second Amendment. We know freedom for us to keep and bear arms. It's interesting how those are the first ones that are under assault. Immediately with this WooFlu garbage, we had executive orders for churches to shut down. And you had churches, pastors that, well, we got to obey the law, we got to submit. You go, stop. It's not in keeping with the law. The supreme law of the land says they can't do this, but you still have plenty of preachers that decided to bow at the very first executive order that rolled out. And the freedom of speech, every single day we're being censored. It's literally, they're working in cahoots. Our government bureaucrats are in cahoots with your fascist book, you know, Facebook, Meta, whatever they call themselves, and Twitter and other outlets. They're in cahoots, picking and choosing who gets heard and who doesn't get heard. So freedom of speech is under assault by the people that swear an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. Freedom of the press, it's under assault. They, you know, recently arrested the founder president of Veritas. They've gone through his stuff. They've gone through his phones and his computers. They revealed information to New York Times that is the subject of a lawsuit from Veritas, and they're doing very well with the lawsuit, by the way. Literally, the Constitution is under assault. Yesterday, it was disclosed that over a billion files. Now, you know, firearms purchases files are now being archived. That's not something the federal government is allowed to do, but they're doing it. Think about how many things they're doing to rip apart your rights as a citizen. Beyond that, the Second Amendment or the Second Article 2 of the Constitution deals with the presidency, and one of the things he's required to do is faithfully execute the laws. By the way, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution says a Republican form of government shall be preserved for all states. That's under assault. And all states shall be protected against invasion. We have 2 million people unlawfully that came into the country in the past year. At least, nothing is being done. There's an invasion taking place, and the people that have sworn an oath have completely ignored it. Now, if believers don't, if these things sound foreign to you as a believer, I'm speaking to you today, get out and do your homework. It's requisite of you that you not walk around as an ignoramus. Yes, know your Bible, but know what's going on in the world around you. I've just enlightened you. If you have any question, feel free to reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, even though they're censoring me every single day.
Hey, Greg, thank you so much for your input. Glenn, we've got just a few seconds left on the broadcast. Would you wrap us up with your charge to our listeners, what we need to do, how we need to respond, and that we need to continue to faithfully trust God?
Well, my Bible says, Jesus speaking, when you see these things happening, he's talking about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in various places and all the mayhem that's coming. He says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I believe that the rapture of the church is imminent. And as a Christian, I hope you know what that means. That means it could happen at any time. You need to be telling your friends, relatives, and neighbors about Jesus to make sure they get on board for the rapture. Otherwise, Amen. It's going to be a very awful 7 years of tribulation.
Amen. Thank you for that, Glenn. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.